بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the title of the class today is the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Al-Madinah. Inshallah, we will continue to learn about the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and early Muslims to Yathrib. Actually, as the Muslims of Yathrib heard that Prophet Muhammad had left Mecca and was on his way to their city, they awaited for his arrival. Every morning they would go to the edge of the city to see if he were coming. Finally, on Monday, September 27th, in the year 622 AD, someone saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that person shouted to everyone, "Here is Muhammad, the messenger of Allah has arrived." And all the Muslims went out to greet him, shouting, "Allah is the great, Muhammad, the messenger of Allah has arrived." The women and the children sang songs to show how glad they were to see him. You see how these people were very happy to have Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we compare them with those of Mecca whom they were treating him the worst treatment. Actually, the Prophet entered Yathrib with his companion Abu Bakr. Yathrib would now be called Al-Madinah, which means the city of the messenger. That is to say, the city of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So its name was changed after the migration of Allah's messenger. As soon as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Yathrib, its name was changed from Yathrib. And actually, Yathrib is the place of illness. Can you imagine that the meaning of Yathrib is the place of illness? And because of that name, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he changed the name to Tiba or Tayyiba, the good place or the city of the Prophet. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed at a city, small city called Quba, which is a place at the entrance of Al-Madinah. He stayed there for 4 days. It was during this period that the foundation of Quba Mosque was laid on. Regarding Ali, radiallahu anhu, his nephew, who slept in the Prophet's bed on the day of immigration, he stayed in Mecca. Ali stayed in Mecca for 3 days to return the trusts on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to their owners. As most of the people of Quraysh, they believed that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a trustful person, so they always keep their trusts with him. So when he left and he was planning that none is supposed to know about his immigration, he didn't return the trusts. But he left it to Ali. So Ali returned all the trusts on behalf of the Prophet to their owners. After that, Ali started his immigration journey to catch up with the Prophet at Quba, at the entrance of Medina. On the Prophet's arrival to Al-Madinah, many of the wealthiest Muslims invited him to come and to live with them and to share their riches with him. But he refused, and he said, while pointing to his camel, "Let her go her way." Everyone was looking for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to live with him, especially the very wealthy people. He refused and he said, let her go her way, because he knew that his camel was under Allah's command and would guide him to the spot where he should stay. So they let the camel go her way until it finally knelt down beside a house belonging to the tribe of his mother. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. You see, this is Banu Najjar. Their name is Banu Najjar. This place was used as a drying place for dates, and it belonged to two young orphan boys who offered it to be given to the Prophet for free. But the Prophet refused, and he insisted on paying them for that place. The Prophet planned for a mosque and a place to live in for him to be built at that site. So this will be the place of the mosque of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which most of the Muslims plan to visit when they do Hajj. Okay, so when you do Hajj, you go to Mecca for Hajj, but also you plan to visit Al-Madinah, mainly to visit the mosque of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the place of the mosque, okay, was that place when his camel knelt down, okay, at the time when he just entered Al-Madinah.
Is it small or is it big?
At that time, it was very small. I will tell you about building of the Prophet's mosque. All the Muslims worked together to build the mosque to be finished quickly. Even the Prophet joined in that building. It was here that the Muslims would pray and meet to make important decisions and plans. The mosque or the masjid at that time was the place where the people will meet together and they will have the decisions for their community, and they will have, if they have any celebrations, the mosque was having, or the masjid was having, a very important role for the Muslims at that time. The building was plain and simple. The floor was beaten earth, and the roof of the palm leaves was held up by the tree trunks. So this is a very simple mosque. Just palm trees, the leaves, okay, and palm trunk. Okay. Two stones marked the direction of the prayer. Two stones. At first, worshippers faced Jerusalem, but soon after, the direction of the prayer was changed towards the Kaaba in Mecca. Okay, so regarding living in Medina, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started by changing the name from Yathrib to Al-Madinah and immediately building the mosque. This is to clarify the importance of having the mosque, okay, for the Muslims. Okay, he cannot live in a place, okay, where there is no mosque. So immediately, and number one, before building his house, he built the mosque. Okay, number three, regarding what Prophet Muhammad had as a priority, as just as he entered Al-Madinah, was a code of brotherhood. The third important achievement in Madinah was that actually after building the mosque, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he focused on strengthening the relationship between two parties. The first party are the Muslims who left Mecca with him, called the immigrants, who were poor, homeless, and jobless. Okay, so now we will know in full details about these two party sisters, because those are the early Muslims. Okay, those are the one whom they strengthened Islam at the beginning, the most important period for Islam. So the first party is the party of the immigrants, as I mentioned, poor, homeless, and jobless. Their number was not small, okay, but it was increasing day by day after the Prophet gave them the green light to immigrate to Medina. The second party were the Muslims of Al-Madinah, who were called Al-Ansar. What is the meaning of Al-Ansar? The helpers, who were mostly wealthy and the owner of the land. So each Muslim of Al-Madinah took as his brother, you know, sisters, as his brother, not as someone I'm inviting as a guest, no, as a brother. Each Muslim of Al-Madinah took as his brother a Muslim from Mecca, sharing everything with him and treating him as a member of his own family. This was the beginning of the Islamic brotherhood, which means brotherhood in faith. which is based on Islamic rules. We will recite now from the Holy Quran two verses, which is clarifying to us that we must be sisters in faith, okay? And this is the most important goal. This was the most important goal for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the starting of Islam, is that Muslims must feel that they have a bond together, which is the bond of Islamic faith. We will recite now from Surah number 49, verse number 10, so that it will be clear to every one of us that all believers are but sisters and brothers.
إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون.
صدق الله العظيم. You get it. Page 748. You find it?
Verse
number 10. Okay, you can read and keep telling.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The believers are but brothers, so make settlements between your brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy.
So actually, sister, this is a Quranic rule which every one of us must know and must believe and must practice. The believers are but brothers and sisters. Okay? So, from day one in Islam, okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed that Quranic rule. It is a rule from Allah, not from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the rule from Allah the Almighty. Believers are but brothers and sisters. Okay? Accordingly, we must have good relation together all the time. We are not supposed to have bad relation. We are not supposed not to like each other. Or to fight. This is up to fighting. Okay, fight is the end of the line. Okay, we are supposed to love each other, support each other, take care of each other, help each other. Okay, and our hearts must be full of love to each other. Whether I know you or I don't know you, this is not the issue. Whether you are from my country, from my culture, from my color, this is not the issue for Muslims. Okay, and this is the most important message of Islam, and this is the mercy of Islam, and this is what is special for Islam. We are all brothers and sisters. We have a very strong bond, which is more stronger than the bond of the culture or the country or the background. It is the bond of Islam. It is the bond of the Quran. It is the bond of Allah, it is the bond of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And actually, if we try to compare between that community, the early Muslims, and the community of the Muslims now, we will know why Muslims are weak and why Muslims are not respected by anyone, and why Muslims are at the end of the list for all the nations, because they don't follow the rule of Allah. We are brothers and sisters. So if we help each other all over the world, the Muslims will be the most wealthy, the most educated, the best mannered human being. But if we follow that rule, unfortunately Muslims forget completely about that rule, and even they are fighting each other. Okay, and because they are fighting each other, Allah is putting them in more hardships and in more trials, because they are not following His rule. Okay, Muslims are all the time questioning why there is a war in Syria, why there is a war in in Yemen, why we have wars, because we are fighting each other most of the time. Okay, and Allah will not help us so long we are not following His rule. This is a fact which we must remember. Okay, there is no place for someone to ask or to question why Muslims are not in a good shape, because Muslims are not following any of the rules of their religion. They are Muslims by name. So Allah is leaving them to their shaitan to destroy them. They are not Muslims. Okay, we will recite now another verse from the same surah. Surah number 49, verse number 13, so that we will know about the scale of Islam. The scale of Islam regarding who is better than the other one. This is the scale of Islam. We will know about it. Surah number 49, verse number 13.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O mankind, indeed we have created you from male and female, and made you peoples and tribes, that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you. Indeed, Allah is knowing and aware.
So actually, sister, this is the rule of Islam regarding who is the most noble in the sight of Allah. He is the one who is the most righteous of us, not the most rich. Okay, or the one who has the best qualification or the most prestigious position, okay, or job. No, the noble of us is in the sight of Allah is the one who is the most righteous of us. And Allah is clarifying why He created us from different tribes and from different cultures and background, so that we may know one another, not so that we may fight one another or kill one another, so that we may fight one another, we may love one another. Actually, let us return back to the early Muslims and to know more about these two parties, the immigrants and the helpers. Allah mentioned them in Surah number 59, verse number 8 and 9. We will recite now from Surah number 59, Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 8 and 9, to know more about the two Muslim parties in Medina, how they were living, what were their characters, okay, the immigrants and the helpers. Surah number 59, verse number 8 and 9.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوك شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون.
تبارك الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. For the poor immigrants who were expelled from their homes and their property, seeking bounty from Allah and His approval and supporting Allah and His Messenger, there's also a share. Those are the truthful. And also for those who were settled in the house, the Medina, and adopted the faith before them. They love those who immigrated to them and find not any want in their breast and their hearts of what they were given, but give them preference over themselves, even though they are in privation. And whoever is protected from the stinginess of their soul, it is those who will be the successful.
So actually, sisters, we will know the meaning of these two verses in detail so that it will be clear for us about the reality of these two groups of Muslims or two parties of Muslims. Number one, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah is mentioning the early Muslims of Mecca who were forced to flee their hometown Mecca under much pressure and persecution by their own tribesmen. So they were forced to flee. Okay, so we must appreciate this for them. Okay, why they flee? Okay, because they didn't do any mistake. They committed no mistake other than believing in Allah alone. So they don't have the freedom of religion. Okay, in their country, in their own town, Mecca. So they were forced to flee their hometown Mecca. They left their homes and all what they have for the sake of Allah and their religion. They left everything. Okay? They realized that they had no helper or protector other than Allah. So, sisters, just try to think of this fact. Okay? Someone who is leaving everything. Just you open the door of your house and you escape. And when someone will tell you, where are you going? You say to Medina. Do you know anybody there? No. Are you sure you will be happy there? No. Are you sure that you can work there? No. Are you sure of anything? No. I am just sure that other Muslims there will take care of us. So what are you taking with you in this trip, in this immigration trip? Okay, I am taking my belief, my faith. I am taking Allah with me. And I am leaving everything. Okay, during our days, if you plan a trip for a month, you prepare for that trip 3 months before. Okay, so that you will be sure that whatever clothes you take is the best, which will be suitable for the place. I have to have different colors of my scarves. I have to have different colors of my skirts. I have to have different colors of my bags. I have to be sure of all the details. I'm just going for a month. Okay, inshallah. But I must enjoy the time and I must be sure. Even the chocolate which I like in America, I will take it with me when I am a trip in Egypt, because I will not find that chocolate. I have to enjoy time. It is a trip. It is hardship. A trip is hardship. Okay. Who are these people whom they just left everything? And some of them, they left their wives. Or children, because their wives and their children were not Muslims. So they just left them. Some wives, they left their husbands. And they just move, okay, with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the sake of their belief. This is the reality of the belief, sister. How it will direct your life, guide your life. Your life is guided by your faith, okay? And those people were true human beings. We are not, describing an imaginary movie. No, this is the reality. These are, you know, the grandmothers and the grandfathers of the Muslims. Okay? We are their descendants, but we are totally different. All praise to Allah. Subhanallah. Okay. Although they were few in number, but their hearts were full of sincere faith in Allah, so they earned the good description given to them in the Quran. These are the ones who are true. You see, Allah is giving them this description. Okay, actually they were true first to their claim that they had chosen Allah above all else. They prove that. Okay, Allah is above. You can say Allah is the highest priority for me. But on practice, it will be clear that Allah is not any of your priorities at all. But you can just keep on saying. But in practice, it is different. But they proved that they chose Allah above all else. Number two, they were true to their pledge to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they would follow him. They didn't tell him, you immigrate to Medina and inshallah we will come. Then they changed their point of view. And actually, this is one of the characters of the Muslims now, one of the worst characters. That they promise and they didn't fulfill. And they never fulfilled their promise. A sister will tell you, Assalamu alaikum sister, I will come and wait for me. So I will change all my schedule because she has a big problem. No. Some sisters, whom they have big problems. I have a sister, she was calling me 10 times per day. I have a big problem, I want to meet you. Okay, no problem, sister. So she came and I met her. As soon as I told her my point of view regarding her problem, she disappeared for a year. After 1 year, she never attend, she never read, she never call, anything. After 1 year, she start calling 10 times per day. I have a problem. So what I am supposed to do with her? I didn't respond. To tell you the truth. Because I have my schedule and my schedule is full. Try to prove your sincerity. Okay, if you can come to the masjid just for the sake of your worldly life problem. So what is your reality? You are not true. Those Muslims were true. But those people are not true. Because if you are true, you must be true with Allah. The one who is controlling everything. Number three, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. They were true to the truth, making of themselves a living version of it. They believe in the truth and they live the truth. Okay, I cannot say Quran is the best book in life. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best human being. Then when you tell me, Sister Mona, are you living with the riba? I tell you, yes, of course. Of course. Everyone is using riba. You want me to be different from all the people? No, no, no. I'm like everyone. But the Quran is my guidance. Prophet Muhammad is my role model. Okay? I can say the truth, but I never prove it. Okay? So the early Muslims were the one to prove that Allah is above everything, to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to live the truth which they believe in. In verse number 9, Allah is describing the Muslims of Yathrib, who were called the helpers, who were firmly settled there long before the arrival of the immigrants. They were also firmly established in the faith. Actually, we don't find in the human history an event similar to the reception given by the helpers to the immigrants. This is known. You know, even those whom they wrote the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Western countries, they believed in this. There is no reception like the one given by the helpers to the immigrants. People whom they don't know anything about them, they are hopeless, they are jobless, they will take care of them, but they were very happy and they were welcoming them to the maximum for the sake of Allah. It reflected love and generosity. The helpers happily shared their wealth with the immigrant brethren, competing with each other in offering them their homes. We must stop here. Okay, competing. They have a competition. Now we are like the helpers. There is one immigrant sister, and she is looking for a home or a house, and we will compete. Daniel will say, I want to take her in my home. I will tell her, no, no, I will be the one. Then Ghada will say, no, 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 it is my turn. I must take her home. Then Safiya will tell her, I will be the one to take her home. What are these sisters? You know, we must stop to reflect, to learn lessons in life. Why we are in a very poor shape regarding our faith, family, hearts, everything. Not happy at all. Most of the time when you ask any sister, are you okay? I'm not happy. Ready. She's ready with the answer before the question. Why you are not so happy? Because our hearts are controlled by Allah. And we are not following the rules of Allah. So He will never make us happy. Okay? Are we competing now to help the homeless, jobless sisters? In my Arabic class now, I said to the sister, and I had a plan that we will never celebrate any celebration by giving gifts. Any celebration will be just with a card. And whatever money we collect, it must be sent to the Syrian people, whom they are homeless, jobless, very hungry, in the tents, living in tents. So we cannot be true regarding believing in Allah, living in America in the best situation, and trying to give gifts, very expensive gifts to each other, okay? While those Muslims are there, they don't find a shelter or a house, or they cannot find food to eat. So this is the reality. This is the truth. This is how you can be a true believer in Allah, human being, just a human. You know who is helping the Syrians? The Western countries, the non-Muslims, mainly. Who is yes, the non-Muslims, yes. Europe and America are the countries number one giving. I'm not talking about except about food. You know. Say that, you know, or I always remind the Syrian sisters, okay, that part of your country is in the street, in the tent. So don't enjoy life to the maximum. Okay, when a sister will say, today is the birthday of my daughter, I have a very big party in a hotel. I tell her, what is this? What is this? Where is your feeling? Why you will spend thousands of dollars for the birthday of your daughter and the rest of the family, suppose that we are one family, are in a tent, they cannot find food or drink, and the weather this year is extremely cold, they have a lot of snow. A tent in the snow, you know, it must be something, you know, very strange for any human being to reflect people living in a tent in the snow, from the tent to the snow. Okay, and we are living here enjoying the birthdays. What, this is Islam? No, this is not Islam. Islam is totally different. When your heart will feel other Muslims, you are a Muslima. But when you don't feel them, you have a problem. Even if you are praying, having a head cover or doing whatever, okay, your heart must feel the other. This is Islam. This is the mercy of Allah. And you can know the people, how they are close to Allah, according to the percentage of the mercy, which Allah's mercy put in their hearts. Because all the mercy on the earth is from Allah. So when Allah loves a Muslim or a Muslima, He will give that Muslima a big part of His mercy in her heart. So if someone will come and tell you, I am praying, I am fasting, I am memorizing the Quran, then when she will be in life, practical life, you will notice that she doesn't have mercy, forget about everything. Forget about everything. The reality is the reality. The reality is in practice, as it is the case with the helpers who happily shared their wealth with their immigrant brethren, competing with each other in offering them their homes and shouldering the burden of his hospitality. They even gave the immigrant preference over themselves. This is a high summit to reach, unknown anywhere else in human history. Someone whom you don't know at all, you give her preference over yourself. Can you do this, Hada? Yes or no?
It's difficult.
To tell you the truth, I can do it.
It's difficult.
Very difficult. Here he is telling...
You don't know who to trust.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, should I let this person in my house? Or,
you
know?
You see, just to invite your house.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you want to say?
Okay,
but before, I want to say that they exceeded what is normal in people's life. This is not normal. Because if it is up to the normal, okay, I can divide my bread with Ghada. But to give to Ghada three quarters of the bread, and I will have one quarter, and I am still hungry, this is very difficult. Very difficult for any normal human being. Okay. This is the wisdom of Allah. Allah created those early Muslims, the helpers, in a way that they will accept the immigrants so that Islam will be a successful religion. Otherwise, if those helpers are not created with these hearts and mentality, okay, Islam will be lost in Mecca. And that's it. But this is Allah's wisdom, and this is Allah's knowledge, and this is Allah's creation. Okay? Actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, at the beginning of the brotherhood, okay, it was named the Brotherhood in Faith. Okay, I explain to you this and we read about this. Okay. The helpers were extremely generous to their brethren in faith. It was reported that they approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the request that their palm trees should be distributed equally between the Muslims of Medina and those from Mecca. You see, they want to give them half of their palm trees. Okay, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reluctant to put this heavy burden upon them. It was, however, decided that the immigrants would work along with the helpers, taking care of the palm trees, and the yield would be divided equally among them. But the helpers were ready to give half of their palm trees. So they are very special people, actually. The atmosphere of brotherhood and fellow feeling created a spirit of selflessness.
Selflessness.
infused deeply in the hearts of the followers and produced very healthy result. For example, now I will give you an example to know that how they were treating each other. One of the helpers, his name was Sa'd ibn Rabi'a. Okay, he was the most wealthy man in Medina. The wealthiest man in Medina, Sa'd ibn Rabi'a. He said to his fellow brother, Abdurrahman ibn, the one, the immigrant, okay, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, I am the richest man among the helpers. I am glad to share my property half and a half with you. You see, this is the richest man. For example, if there is a rich Muslim now who has 50 million, he can share 1 million. 1 million with all the very poor Muslims. Not with one. With all the very poor Muslims. If the Muslim, the rich Muslim, will give their charity, there will be no poor Muslims. This is how Allah planned life. But people are not giving their charity. Okay? Also, you see what he said also. Sa'd ibn Rabi'a, that helper, the richest man, he said to his brother, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, also I have two wives. I am ready to divorce one of them and you can marry her after the expiry of her idda. Idda is the prescribed period for a Muslim woman divorced to wait for before the new marriage. He even offered one of his wives. And you must imagine who is the wife of the very rich man in Medina. She must be very beautiful. She must be a good woman. Okay, he offered his wife also. But what Abdurrahman ibn Auf, what the immigrant, what was the response of the immigrant? He said that he is not ready to accept anything, neither property, nor home, nor wife. So He blessed his brother and said, kindly direct me to the market so that I can make my fortune with my own hands. He wants to work. You know that Abdurrahman ibn Auf, especially, he will be one of the very richest Muslim later on. This is the belief. The belief that the provider is Allah. Allah is the owner of everything. Allah can provide whoever He wants to the extent which we never imagine. Our problem as Muslims is related to the belief in Allah. Our faith is very weak. This is our main problem. Such examples point directly to the spirit of sacrifice and love on the part of the helpers, and also the feeling of appreciation, gratitude, and self-respect that the immigrant held dear to their hearts. They took only what helped them to live in a reasonable life. For all of the above, Allah mentioned the great reward which is prepared for all of them in Surah number 9, verse number 100. Allah mentioned about what He is preparing and what is His reward for both of them, the immigrants and the helpers.
وسيكون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم.
272 page 271 and 272. You get it? It is your turn.
And the first Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and the first forerunner in the faith among the Muhajirin and the Ansar and those who follow them with good conduct. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him, and He has prepared for them garden beneath which river flows, wherein they will abide forever. That is the great retainment.
So actually, sisters, Allah the Almighty is clarifying to us that He will reward them, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the gardens beneath which rivers flow
and they will be living there forever. And this is the great reward from the Allah the Almighty. And this is also a lesson for every one of us. When you do a good deed, okay, be aware that Allah will reward you to the extent which you never imagined. Okay, so be happy when you do the good deed. Don't question about the reward. Okay, Allah is the most generous. Okay, so if you do good deed, okay, feel happy. Feel relax. Feel that you are a winner. You win on your shaitan. And you do the good deed. And you will receive the reward from Allah. This will encourage you to do more good deed. And more good deed, and you to be away from the bad deed. Okay, this is how we can listen from these verses of the Quran regarding the reward of Allah. And Allah is giving them a reward which we never imagined. Gardens, beneath it are rivers forever. Okay, and again, sister, what is the meaning of forever? Okay, forever means thousands of years, millions of years. We will not be able to imagine it or to reflect on this. What is the meaning of forever? Okay, there is no death, there is no hardship, there is no worship of Allah, there is no prayers in Jannah. Okay, you just enjoy. Okay, all of this you will receive it forever. Okay, people nowadays are after enjoyment for 10 minutes, for half an hour. If you tell to the sister, there is a very good dinner in one of the hotels at the time of the class. Okay, salamu alaikum, sister. The class will be here every week. Or the dinner is, or the lunch will be for once upon a time. And I am a human being. Okay, I will go to lunch in the hotel. Salamu alaikum. Then you ask the sister, do you feel guilty? Never. Why? Why to feel guilty?
It's a good dinner.
Why? I am a human being. And the class is there. And Allah is the most merciful. He will forgive me. Allah will forgive me. So sister, forgive me, no problem. Okay? This is how we are living our life. But if you try to think it over, I am always mentioning these examples for the sisters whom they are attending my Arabic class, that Allah is giving us the test that the best lunch at that good hotel will be at the time of the class. Because it can be on a different day, different time. But this is the test of Allah. And we must always believe, sisters, in a very important fact. Have Allah as your highest priority. Allah is putting you in the test all the time. If you prove to Allah that He is your highest priority, Allah will compensate for that lunch, don't worry, in the worldly life. And He will reward you also that you have Him as your priority in the hereafter. You will receive the reward, but you will be compensated. You will be compensated for what you leave for the sake of Allah. Okay, and I always believe that whatever you do at the time, when you utilize your time, which you were supposed to be the time for the sake of Allah, when you utilize for the worldly life, be sure that you will never get any benefit. Even if you believe that I went to the hotel and it was very nice lunch and I enjoyed time, nothing happened to me. No, nothing happened to you now. You don't know who is sitting beside you. Maybe you said any word and she catches that word. Maybe she will later on, yes, this is Allah. We always think, our very narrow way of thinking. Okay, the story is totally different. If you want to feel how great is Allah, try to look in a picture where there are people from all over the world with whom they are speaking different languages. Chinese, Vietnamese, Hispanics, African-American, Arabs, White American, and then try to reflect. Allah knows what is in the heart of those thousand people, and He is recording this all over the world. Different language. Trillion in China, trillion in India, millions and millions in Egypt, here and there and there and here. Allah is recording all of this, what is happening in every second. This is Allah. So I can't put anyone, okay, highest priority than Allah at all. And I must avoid the anger of Allah.
You know, people always forget about this fact. Allah is mentioning this in the Holy Quran. Don't forget about the anger of Allah. If Allah will be angry with you, this doesn't mean that He will punish you now, today, the way you imagine. Never. Never. It may be after 30 years, when you work hard day and night, when you collect all the money, when you feel that this is the time for me to relax and to enjoy my life. And this is the story which is going on in our worldly life. People will work day and night, immigrate, move to different places, try everything, halal or haram, and all the money in the bank, and they are very happy. Then they get, I don't mean anyone, but then they get end stage cancer. I saw this many cases. Whatever thousands and millions of money they collect, they spend it in the hospitals with no hope. Even we don't enjoy our money. Okay? And all what we collect, we lost. We didn't lose the money. We lose our life. We lose our time. We lose the love. We lose the support. Why I didn't utilize that money with my family, with my sisters, with the Muslims? I didn't get the benefit of my money. I lost it for the illness, and I will never be cured. This is how Allah is punishing the people. And people are not aware of this. They don't have the time to reflect. All my life is lost for nothing, even for pain. They die out of pain. Okay, this is number one. And because of that now, if you notice, most of the clinics which are having the highest number of patients are pain clinic. 50 years ago, there was no pain clinics. When I was in the faculty of medicine, when I was studying medicine, there was nothing called pain clinics or any of this. Yes, this is new trend of medicine. Why? Because of the cancer. Now the pain is a big problem related to cancer patients. Okay? And it is very expensive treatment. Okay? And it is equal to no treatment. It is just, you know, you have pain, okay, we will make the pain less. But the pain is there because the illness is there. Because the source of the pain is still there. We cannot get rid of it. Why I have it? I was planning myself to enjoy life. It is not up to you. You forget Allah at the beginning of the story. Now you must remember Him in this very difficult time. So this is the reality of life. I don't know why people are not trying to have time to reflect. If you are living in a city like the city of Houston, which is having the biggest medical center in the world, you must all the time think of this. The medical center is not doing anything except by the command of Allah. Investigations. Now all the medicine is equal to investigations. Okay, all the time. Now you have to have an X-ray, then MRI, then MRI with color, then CT scan, then CT scan, or then blood investigation, then repeat all the investigation, then do more. What all this? What is this? Then at the end, patients are patients, and I worked with the cancer patients and with all the patients. I was working in a university which is having subspecialty clinics in Al Khobar, in the University of King Faisal University. It was a subspecialty clinics, and I had the kids whom they have cancer long time ago. And all the time, we were having at that time physicians from the medical center in Houston. Yes, because, you know, at that time there was a lot of money in the Gulf, so they got the consultants from America. Now it can't be done. And all the time, those consultants were telling, we are doing experiments. Just give drug one plus drug two. Okay? I always remember I was having my lunch while I am pushing drug 1, drug 2, drug 3, drug 4, drug 5, drug 6. And then we say to the patient, inshallah, you will be all right next week. The child will die. Mm-mm. Okay? No one will cry. Okay, we will just write
experiment 1 plus 2 is not successful.
It's like we would guinea pig. Yes. It's like an animal.
Yes.
Around. We,
yes, and this is what is going on up till now. When they know that the patient is terminal, it is all experiment. Or for the sake of those whom they are coming. Allah said in the Quran, when you are sick, I will be the one to cure you. Not through going to the medical center, through knowing that you have a Lord from the beginning of your life. Not just to remember Allah at the time of diagnosis. Now I can go to Mecca. Now I will spend half of my money for the sake of Allah. Correct? But it is too late. We can't play that game with Allah. But you know why people are playing that game with Allah? Because they don't know who is Allah. If you know Allah from the Holy Quran, you can't do anything with Allah except obedience. And I am very thankful for your that I am obeying you. I fear Allah because I know how He is great. So you know, sister, this is the most important lesson. Those early Muslims, they knew Allah. And this is how any person who knows Allah, he must live his life. Obedience plus being thankful to Allah that I am obedient. And Allah knows that. Because I live with alhamdulillah with the Quran a lot of time. This is my feeling now. When I start to have pain in my eyes, I went to ophthalmologist. She told me, she's not a Muslim. So she told me, you have cataract in both your eyes. I told her, okay. I want to finish the meeting. She told me maybe it will move very quickly and you will need to remove cataract from your both eyes. I told her, okay, thank you. She told me, no, wait. I want to look deep in your eye. I told her, I don't want you to look deep in my eye. Thank you, this is enough. She told me, no, I must. You have detachment. Mm-mm. I told her, what? I have also detachment. She told me, yes, wait.
Wait, can you find something else?
I must die on the spot. I will look to that.
It's retina detachment.
Huh?
Retina
detachment. Not the retina. I am not up to retina. No, retina, this means blindness. I am not to the step. I have liquor, something before retinal detachment. She told me, let me look to your other eye. What is going on? This is detachment also. I told her, so what is the end of this story? Okay. She told me the end is that you have bilateral cataract, bilateral detachment. Nobody knows what will happen to you. Mm-hmm. I told her, okay. You know, I was a physician. I learned all of this. I told her, okay, what is your advice now? Do you know any food who can help me? No. There is no food to help you at all. Okay. Any vitamin? No. Nothing can help you. No, I must die. I must die, actually. So I told her, what is your advice? She told me you must come every 6 months. I told her, no, I can't come every 6 months. I will come after 1 year. And whatever is written for me or whatever I'm exposed, it happen, it will happen. Thank you very much. As soon as this happened 2 weeks ago, as soon as I came out of the clinic, I cut her paper, I throw it, and I say, I will do dua to Allah to keep me to see, just to see, okay? So that I can give my classes and read the Holy Quran and pray. And inshallah, Allah will be able to do everything. So this is medicine. This is the...
She didn't give you anything.
No, she's waiting. She's waiting for me. She's waiting for everything to become the worst.
Oh, why?
Sometimes I feel that... Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all love in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Amen.